Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 111, 112, and 113. Psalm 111, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light. In the darkness he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth, and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, I think that structurally speaking, Psalms 111, 112, and 113 go together. And we see notice how different Psalm 110 begins and how different Psalm 114 begins. And then we note that all three of the Psalms here begin with praise ye the Lord. There is a threefold praise in 114 at the beginning. And then at the end of 114, we end where we began in praise ye the Lord. And so structurally speaking, I think that these three psalms are meant to be considered together. There is so much parallel material, truths, revelation, that that take place or are inscribed here in these three psalms that it seems to me to be fairly obvious. Now, there is a slight difference in Psalm 113. Psalm 113 would be fixed more toward the Lord and his praise, but you would expect that in these three psalms of praise because we are rising up to our crescendo, right? So I think that it's safe to say, at least safe, if not dogma, certainly safe to say, that we have, structurally speaking, three psalms that are meant to be considered together. All right, with that then, let's begin. It's a triple praise. They all begin with praise ye the Lord. And so praise is not an individual thing. Notice, praise ye the Lord. Anybody remember the Hebrew word for that? Hallelujah. Okay, we take that apart. We do our Hebrew parsing. The hallel part speaks of praise. The hallelu, the ooh part, speaks of all y'all together. Okay, and then Yah is short for Jehovah. So hallelujah means praise ye, all of you together, the Lord. Okay, and so notice that prayer then is not necessarily an individual thing. It is also a corporate thing, scripturally speaking. And so the psalmist, and I believe it's David here, although I wouldn't be dogmatic on it, I believe it's David. Notice he says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And so we want to talk about wholehearted praise. We want to make that not only our goal, but our prayer as well. That the Lord would grant to us a wholehearted praise unto him, that he would deliver us from distraction, that he would deliver us from a divided heart, divided loyalties, divided affections, and that we would come before the Lord wholehearted. And then notice that praise ye the Lord corresponds to in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And so we have public worship being extolled here as the place of public praise. And all that is very simple. You guys know that. We've seen that over and over again throughout the Psalter. notice also then that in verse 2, well, first of all, I'll tell you what, let's do this according to my notes. That way I'll be more organized and more understandable, okay? So this praise is in the assembly of the upright. It's a people that are known as the people of God. They are the assembly of the upright. They gather not for sin, not to further a wicked design in their worship and service to the Lord, but to make mention of his holiness and worth. So there ought to be a relative and general uprightness that adheres to the people of God. Our reputation, beloved, ought to be that we are the assembly of the upright. It will not do for the people of God to be known as thieves and robbers, adulterers and fornicators. It will not do for the people of God to be known as those who abuse others. No, we must be known as the assembly of the upright. This is pressed to us here. Then praise is to be undertaken wholeheartedly. It's as much a call to self-examination as it is a call to wholehearted praise. It's also a matter of prayer. Elsewhere, David prays, unite my heart to fear thy name. So not only is it, or ought it to be an aspect of our prayer, a characterization of our prayer, it is also a prayer itself, that the Lord would unite and give us that wholehearted inclination toward himself. The other thing is that praise includes the blessing of obedience. Praise includes the blessing of obedience. And over and again here we hear praise coupled with the commandments of God. And so we need to ask ourselves the question what our attitude is toward God's commandments, whether we love them, whether they are the joy and rejoicing of our heart, whether they are our delights, and so on, or whether or not the commandments of God are onerous and burdensome to us, and we see God's commandments as difficult and hard and over the top, and so on. And then finally, praise includes the idea that we are to serve the Lord, right? When we come forth to praise, we are serving the Lord. Worship's not for us, primarily. It's for God. That does not mean there's no benefit to us. Obviously, there is a benefit to us. But we come to serve Him. The second point is that the Lord is praised for His commandments. And over and again in these, especially 111 and 112, they are to be kept, they are to be sought out, and they are to be obeyed. Kept, sought out, and obeyed. We understand keep, we understand obeyed. What about sought out? What does that mean? That the people of God are seeking out the commandments of God. That is, they are learning to know their particular duty before the Lord. They want to know what the Lord requires of them personally. We've talked about this before. Different people in different places in life have different duties, right? If we're driving down the street and we see someone speeding, we don't turn on our four-way flasher and try to pull them away. That's not a commandment for us. That's a commandment for somebody else. Somebody else has that authority and ability to do that, right? So not every commandment applies in every particular way the same way. There's a command, thou shalt not kill. That is administered differently by the executioner than it is by the one being executed. Right? And so these are things to think about, that God's law is not one size fits all with that kind of an understanding, that there are indeed nuanced differences in how we obey the Lord, and so we seek out His commandments. We seek out that greater, that deeper understanding, how each of those commandments apply to us as fathers and mothers, as husbands and wives, as those who work outside the home and those who work inside the home, as those who work for a wage and those who work for the pleasure of the work, as those who are students and children. Okay? So all of those things are, they're still the Ten Commandments. They still apply to us. But that's why we talk of the Ten Commandments as a summary of the law and not everything exhaustive included in the statement of those ten. Yeah, it all runs back to those ten. But how that applies to us is different. So they are to be kept, they are to be sought out, and they are to be obeyed. They are sure. They don't change. What God commanded from the top of Mount Sinai applies to all mankind today. Can you think of any other thing like that? Is that not a marvel? Is that not a wonder? That God, because the law of God relates to His eternal morality, His own eternal morality, adapted and brought to mankind for mankind's keeping, that because He doesn't change, it doesn't change. What an amazing thing. How many laws on the books of the old U.S. of A. could say that, right? Laws come and go in civil man-made establishments, but not the law of God. His commandments are sure, is what we read here. And they are the sure way to pleasing the Lord in Christ. Notice also that the law of God is a path to understanding. Good understanding have all they that keep His commandments. Well, I thought it was good understanding have all they who study more. No? 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 The psalmist writes here that there's such a thing as a moral understanding and a moral contribution to our understanding. That's very important to remember. And then they are to be delighted in. They are pleasant things which keep us from evil and the thraldom of sin and Satan. Third, the Lord is praised for His condescension. He raises the needy out of the dunghill and sets him with princes. He remembers the barren woman and He gives joy where no joy was. And so the Lord is remembered and praised for His gracious condescension. Fourth, the Lord is to be praised for His works. His works are to be remembered, not forgotten. It is good and right to rehearse them to one another, and we will never tire of doing so. And notice that it says that this is done in the context of the congregation in 111 verse 2. And so a part of what we do when we gather together as the people of God in public worship is we recount the great acts of God, the great and mighty works of God for our mutual encouragement. Fifth, He is to be praised because He is fearful, dread, and reverend. He Himself is fearful, dread, and reverend. So it speaks of the manner of our praise, that it is to be brought with joy, but humbly and gravely. Frivolity will not do in the presence of God. Can I say it this way? Some of you that are familiar with things that were going on about 15 or 20 years ago will remember this. Holy laughter is not holy. Right? That became something that people were doing. They were falling on the ground laughing in the middle of church services, and people said that was the Spirit of God upon them. Nope. Don't have to think much about that, do we? Holy and reverend is his name. That's what we ought to remember there. Wisdom is born out of this reverence for him, and he is to be praised for his uniqueness as apart from all others. Number six, the Lord's praise is to be heard over all the earth. He is a great king, and his fame should be spread abroad, east to west, over the those who are outside of the covenant, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. And number seven, he is to be praised for his justice. He lifts up the upright and casts out the wicked. The wicked gnash their teeth at the righteous, but he, undeterred, executes judgment upon them. The Lord is indeed just in all of his ways. And then number eight, he is to be praised for his provision. Meat for the body and food for the soul. The Lord is a provider to all those who call upon his name. All of these principles are laid forth in these three psalms. The second subject we have is how the people of God are blessed in the Lord. All of that was the subject of our praise to God. Now we look at how God blesses his people. Very quickly then, first by way of obedience. That is, it is a blessing that the Lord sends that we should obey him. So they seek out the Lord's works that they might admire him. They remember his works. The way of understanding is the way of obedience. Generosity, care, and discretion guide the righteous man, and so on. Then the blessing of the Lord upon those who praise him and obey him. He gives meat to them that fear him. He gives his people the heritage of the heathen. He shall have a mighty seed upon the earth. Wealth and riches, a spiritual abundance accrue to the upright in heart. Ye shall have light in darkness. Ye shall have courage in the time of trouble. He raises the poor and needy, sets him with princes. He gives the barren woman children, and he shall not be moved forever, and his righteousness shall be held in everlasting remembrance. Those are the blessings that come to the people of God. Well, it's quite a bit there in these three psalms. And then finally, there are a few statements about the wicked. They shall see the generosity and end of the upright man of God, and they shall be grieved for his success, and the desire of the wicked man shall perish. Now, there's only just a little bit, and that's at the end of Psalm 112. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. That's the only part about the wicked in these three psalms. All the rest speak about how we should praise the Lord and how God blesses his people. All right, with that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.